Please welcome in our new sponsor, Underdog Fantasy. Go to underdogfantasy.com and you'll discover that Underdog Fantasy is the best and easiest place to play fantasy sports. Underdog Fantasy lets you draft a fantasy dream team in minutes. Sign up now with the code POWERTRIP and you'll double your first deposit up to $100 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit of $10 or more. That's right, deposit $100 and get $100 for free. Underdog keeps it simple with their easy-to-use website and mobile apps. Pick between 2 and 5 players to fill out your pick'em slip, get every pick right, and take home some cold, hard cash. Use that promo code POWERTRIP and get your first deposit doubled up by $100 by Underdog. That's underdogfantasy.com. Use the promo code POWERTRIP today.
We love the 1980s wrestling era when kayfabe was king and wrestling did whatever it took to protect the business. When all the territories dealt with the rise of the WWF and the NWA emerged as its greatest challenger. Imagine if there were an epic drama series based on that era, combining the corporate warfare and family drama of Succession with the giant cast and epic storytelling of Game of Thrones. That day has come. Kings of the Ring is the first audio drama podcast based on wrestling.
Go back to your trailer, you hillbilly.
It's a fiction series about the 1980s wrestling wars and the sex, drugs, and muscles lifestyle of the 80s wrestler and the sacrifices they make for success. With guest voice acting appearances by Lainey Poffo.
I even have a good dropkick.
And AEW's RJ City.
I didn't really have that much to do.
Search Kings of the Ring from any podcast app or kingsotr.com and binge away.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
The upcoming presentation is a two-man power trip of wrestling podcast production.
Well, you try to shake me, and I'm going to tell you something. I've got something to fight back, and I got more guts than you'll ever dream of. When you hear shaking, it's going to be me doing the Garvin Stomp on you. Earthquake, you hear me? I've always liked a fair fight, Akeem, but it seems to me that I can't expect that of you. So I'm ready. Slick, I hear you're a real slick man. Well, if you're so slick and you like your life and stay healthy and your career, you're going to stay out of my business. That's only a warning. As far as you and I are concerned, Akeem, just bring it on, big man. I like it because I'm going to tell you, when this right hand puts you down, Jack, the whole ground is going to shake and I'm going to plop on top of you.
Hello and welcome to the Hogan Era Podcast. I'm your host, JP John Paz, right here on the two-man power trip of wrestling's podcasting empire. Part of the TMPT feed here each and every week on the Hogan Era Podcast, talking about some of the greatest matches, moments, and feuds ever in the history of the business, all predicating in the era from 1984 to 1993 in the WWF, affectionately known here as the Hogan Era, which a lot of people refer to it as the Golden Era. Now, of course, it is the era that made Vince McMahon into a multi-time billionaire It is the era that launched many fans' fandoms. And, of course, it launched many careers as well. Not only are we talking about the immortal Hulk Hogan, also talking about legends like Macho Man Randy Savage, Rowdy Roddy Piper, King Kong Bundy, Andre the Giant, Big John Studd, the Big Boss Man, Akeem, a.k.a. the One Man Gang, and so many others. Also talking about some tag teams, some other legendary wrestlers that were a part of that era, some funny gimmicks, some bad gimmicks, some good gimmicks. Talking about it all, we're running the gamut here on the Hogan Era Podcast. This week will be no different, as we're talking about one of the best, one of the greatest wrestlers, well, really one of my favorites, but in the Hogan era, maybe one of those unsung heroes or somebody you would consider kind of flying under the radar. I absolutely love this guy, so maybe I'm overrating him a bit, but I love this guy. I think he's awesome. I do think he's under the radar and underappreciated for sure. He is Rugged Ronnie Garvin, a.k.a. the Hands of Stone Ronnie Garvin. It is interesting to note when he does get signed to the WWF. Before that, of course, legendary territory wrestler. He wrestled everywhere. He was in JCP, Jim Crockett Promotions. He was the former NWA World Heavyweight Champion, defeating Ric Flair and holding that belt for a couple of months. He leaves basically the NWA and JCP. Wasn't too fond of, I guess, the way his booking was going and where he was headed and just different things. Wasn't really a fan of, personally, of some of the horsemen, including Ric Flair. He kind of wasn't really a fan of Dusty either, which may be surprised to people, but they didn't really kind of get along that well. Ends up going to the AWA for a little bit, goes to WWC, then there in Puerto Rico for a little bit, and in 1988 enters the World Wrestling Federation. Of course, was the babyface, and they changed his name from Hands of Stone, Ronnie Garvin, to Rugged Ronnie Garvin. Of course, still with that awesome legendary towel, the RG towel in tow, which were always cool and always different colors, and just a really cool thing that he did that kind of made him stand out, just made him look like a badass. Anyway, a badass to me. That's kind of what I thought about him when I think about Ronnie Garvin. If you want to rewind back to August 26, 1985, as you could say, he technically made his WWF debut in a technical sense, because there was an international wrestling show in Montreal, Quebec, Canada, which was a co-promoted show with the WWF, and it was a Canadian international tag team title match. The Rougeau brothers, Jacques and Raymond, defeated gorgeous Jimmy Garvin and Ron Garvin on that show. So if you wanted to count it, even though it's an international wrestling show and it was from the Montreal Forum in Montreal, Quebec, Canada, you could say that that was a debut in the WWF, so to speak. But his real technical debut in the WWF was a couple of matches in a row, one from Grand Rapids, Michigan, and the next from Kitchener, Ontario, Canada, one on 11-20-1988. The next one is 11-21-88, both double countouts with a big-time feud, one of my favorite feuds, really. I mean, it's kind of one of those quote-unquote mid-card feuds, or what do you want to say, upper mid-card feuds, but that was one of those feuds that were just awesome, and these guys just had awesome chemistry, and man, did they lay it in, and man, did they beat the hell out of each other with some of those chops and those slaps and those real, real hard hits. I mean, just unbelievable. But that's his debut versus Garvin, versus Valentine, and it's going to be a double count of 2 days in a row. He makes his television debut, Superstars, number 119, defeating Barry Horowitz in 2 minutes, 20 seconds from Daytona Beach, Florida. He also had a dark match that day, same taping in Daytona, defeated Iron Mike Sharp in 3 minutes. Then Wrestling Challenge 123, he defeated Steve Lombardi, the Brooklyn Brawler from Tampa, Florida, 2 minutes, 30 seconds. So nice little welcome to WWF. A couple hard-hitting matches on house shows with Greg the Hammer Valentine. And then Iron Mike Sharp, Barry Horowitz, and the Brooklyn Brawler all face losses. He then faces Boris Zukov on a couple house shows. Then he fights Greg Valentine at a bunch of house shows and goes to a draw. His first big-time TV match is a part of the MSG Network, Madison Square Garden, New York, New York, 12:30, 1988. Greg the Hammer Valentine defeats Ronnie Garvin in about 17 minutes. Awesome match there. I just love the chemistry between those guys. Then Primetime Wrestling, 1-3-1989 from Huntsville, Alabama. Ronnie Garvin will end up going to a double countout with Tino Bravo. 7 minutes, double countout there. Then Primetime Wrestling, he defeats John Ziegler from the next day, taping in Birmingham in 3 minutes. Then he fights Greg the Hammer Valentine on the NESA network, which, of course, the TV network associated with the Boston Garden in Boston, Massachusetts. Valentine and Garvin go to a double countout at 14 minutes. Then again on the Prism Network the next day, 114.89, Greg the Hammer Valentine defeats Ronnie Garvin in 12 minutes from the Philly Spectrum in Philly, PA. Then, of course, a legendary Royal Rumble, a great Royal Rumble that I absolutely love, 115.1989, Royal Rumble from the Summit in Houston, Texas, which, of course, was run by Big John Studd. But, of course, Ronnie Garvin was in that match as well. TV taping from Hamilton, Ontario. Greg the Hammer Valentine defeats Ronnie Garvin. Garvin defeats Barry Horowitz on a TV taping. He defeats Iron Mike Sharp on a Superstar taping, and he defeats Lou Fabiano on a Wrestling Challenge taping. So if you look at his run so far, it's basically a big-time feud with Greg the Hammer Valentine and wins over a bunch of, you know, quote-unquote job guys, and really just him kind of elevating himself right to the mid-card, maybe upper mid-card, but you could see not going to go too far above that yet, not so far. So there's something there maybe, but not quite. Then on 129-1989, Hogan, Jim Duggan, and Ronnie Garvin defeated Dino Bravo and the Fabulous Rougeau Brothers in a six-man tag from the Montreal Forum in Montreal, Quebec, Canada. What a team there. Hogan, Duggan, and Garvin defeating Bravo and the Rougeau. Pretty damn good team there. I like that. Then he defeats Boris Zukov on a bunch of house shows. Him and Mr. Perfect go to a couple time limit draws. Ron Bass versus Ronnie Garvin on 216-1989. Primetime Wrestling TV taping goes to a double countout in 8 minutes. Then he's going to defeat Boris Zukov on a bunch of house shows, Iron Mike Sharp on a bunch of house shows, before finally facing Mr. Perfect on the same day, back-to-back shows, one from the Boston Gardens on the NESA network and one from Madison Square Garden on the MSG network. He loses both of those matches to Mr. Perfect, one in 14 minutes, one in 12 minutes. Then he loses to Bad News Brown in Hartford, Connecticut. Then eventually, as his feud is really kind of heating up with Valentine, right before that is WrestleMania 5, 4-2, 1989, Dino Bravo defeated Ronnie Garvin in 3 minutes. Of course, WrestleMania 5, the Mega Powers explode from the Trump Plaza Convention Center in Atlantic City, New Jersey. When you look at what was going on there as far as WrestleMania 5, the feud was really, to me, they should have done, and it's kind of odd that they didn't, because Honky and Valentine weren't really teaming as much here. I mean, I guess it was kind of a little bit of foreshadowing, but weren't teaming really much there. And of course, they fought the Hart Foundation. It would have been better, I think, if Valentine and Garvin had their feud at WrestleMania. But I guess the Vince and whoever, Rep Pat Patterson, saw a little bit differently. So a few days later, 4-4-1989, Superstars taping at number 34. Ronnie Garvin defeats Greg Valentine in Glens Falls. They, of course, set it up for the Loser Leaves Town. Greg Valentine is so pissed. He's so frustrated. He then wants to have a Loser Leaves Town match. And, of course, Greg Valentine ends up winning that the following week on Superstars number 135. He had a little bit of the tights, of course, but he beats Garvin in about 3 minutes and 30 seconds there. So Loser Leaves Town. He's gone. He's out of WWF. Not so fast, because if you think about what happens there after he was challenged to a retirement match and loses, he would then start to play a referee, which was kind of an interesting thing, kind of a weird thing. But he actually, when I did an interview with a few times, he actually liked it because he felt like he wasn't really doing much at WWF. So it gave him something to do and kind of gave him a little bit of a character, a little bit of life there. And the fans thought it was great because he's going to be a referee, but basically he's going to be all for the baby faces. He's not really going to be for the heels, and especially not going to be for a guy like Greg the Hammer Valentine. He's actually, you know, hates that guy. So he's going to be refereeing a lot of matches. And despite warnings from Jack Tunney, Garvin would even punch Valentine during a match with Jimmy Superfly Snuka, which led to him kind of being banned from being a referee. He actually served as the special guest ring announcer for the Valentine match at SummerSlam that year, 1989, against the mighty Hercules. And of course, when you look at that and look at that match, obviously it's all kind of teasing the fact that Valentine, or that Garvin might interfere. Valentine does actually get the win over Hercules, but they're teasing that Valentine might interfere and kind of teasing some more tension between the two. If you look at like where they were going and you're looking at that feud, it was all, you know, all superstars and house shows and different matches here and there. Wasn't too many TV matches. When Garvin does return to wrestling, it is 4 months later, so August 8th. So he's basically in wrestle for 4 months, did the referee gimmick, did the ring announcer gimmick for a little bit, but all still while pumping up his feud with Greg the Hammer Valentine. Valentine thought the loser leaves town, which meant that he was going to leave town and he was going to be retired. Yeah, as a wrestler, but he could do other things and screw with Valentine that way. So Valentine really wants him to return to the ring and gets even more revenge. Ronnie Garvin returns, of course, against Jesse Hernandez under a hood as the Intruder. Superstars 153. Garvin gets the win there. Wrestling Challenge. Garvin gets a win over Boris Zukov. Primetime Wrestling. Ronnie Garvin defeats Dino Bravo a few times in a row there from Portland, Maine, and one from Springfield, Mass., defeating him by a DQ on those shows in 5 minutes. Garvin getting a big win there. Beating Sandy Beach, defeating Barry Horowitz, and finally a big rematch, 9-9-89. Garvin and Valentine go to a double countout in Boston, Mass. Ronnie Garvin finally gets another big victory over Valentine in L.A. and in Washington, D.C. as well. They have a big rematch at MSG, one of the greatest matches of the 80s, and I'm not saying it with hyperbole, I'm not making it up. It is great. If you can find it, check it out. 9/30/89, Greg Valentine defeats Ronnie Garvin in 17 minutes. WWF on MSG, Madison Square Garden, New York, New York. It is a freaking slugfest. They will exchange a bunch of victories back and forth along house shows all through October of 1989. Wrestling Challenge from 11/2/89, Ronnie Garvin defeats the Brooklyn Brawler in 2 minutes. From Wichita, Kansas. Ronnie Garvin defeats Spike Jones on a Superstars taping. And then 11/23/89, Survivor Series, Rosemont Horizon in Rosemont, Illinois. The elimination match, the King's Court, Dino Bravo, Earthquake, Greg Valentine, and Randy Savage defeated the 4x4s, Bret Hart, Hercules, Jim Duggan, and Ron Garvin in 23 minutes and 25 seconds. Garvin, though, would then face Valentine at a ton of house shows where Valentine there would get a bunch of victories. Also throw in there a 20-minute time limit draw in Uniondale, Long Island, New York. Gets some wins over Pablo Crenshaw on television. Even gets a big win over Dusty, a.k.a. Dale Wolf, as well. Here's an interesting one. Saturday night's main event, number 25, from Chattanooga, Tennessee. Dino Bravo defeats Ron Garvin in 3 minutes and 20 seconds. Then on the MSG Network, 1/15/1990, Jimmy Snuka and Ronnie Garvin fought the Rhythm and Blues, Honky Tonk Man and Greg Valentine, to a 20-minute time limit draw on MSG. Continues his feud with Greg the Hammer, fighting in Philly, PA, losing there, going to a house show draw in Youngstown, Ohio. Then the big submission match, 1/21/1990, War Rumble 1990 from the Orlando Arena in Orlando, Florida. The submission match, Ronnie Garvin defeats Greg Valentine in 17 minutes. Good match there, good stuff. Obviously some funny little, I guess, comedy stuff you could say, as they were kind of both going for a pinfall. Obviously, pinfalls don't count in a submission match, but that was kind of the end of their big feud there, as Garvin finally gets the big win over Greg the Hammer. Good match, 17 minutes. Garvin then, at a bunch of house shows, would end up defeating the Brooklyn Brawler before finally on TV on Primetime Wrestling on 12/13/1990, losing to Rick Rude in 7 minutes. And then on 2/19/1990, losing to Earthquake on the MSG Network from Madison Square Garden, 7 minutes and 30 seconds. Kind of did fight Valentine and a few more house shows after that, taking some losses. He then loses to Earthquake on Primetime Wrestling, the Ultimate Challenge Special from the Cow Palace in San Fran. That was 3/7/1990. Garvin actually, even in a lumberjack match, defeats Rick Rude via DQ, of course, from his home away from home, Montreal, Quebec, Canada, before taking a ton of losses to Earthquake and Rick the Model Martel on house shows. Dino Bravo as well. He would have a TV match on Primetime Wrestling 514 1990 from London, Ontario, Canada. Haku and Ronnie Garvin went to a double countout in 6 minutes. Maple Leaf Wrestling on TV there from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. 5/27, 1990, Rick Martel did defeat Ronnie Garvin. Then on 6/5, 1990, Primetime Wrestling from Binghamton, New York. Binghamton, New York. Boris Zukov defeated Ronnie Garvin by DQ in 6 minutes. Goes back and forth with Rick Martel on some house shows, exchanging some wins and losses. Then Primetime Wrestling, 6/25, 1990. Rhythm and Blues, Greg Valentine, a Honky Tonk Man, defeated George Anderson and Ron Garvin. Finally, the TV taping the next day, Primetime Wrestling, Ted DiBiase defeated Ron Garvin in 9 minutes. Garvin then goes on a bit of a streak here, defeating the Conquistador, Iron Mike Sharp, Haku, getting a bunch of wins on some house shows, even defeating Bob Bradley and Buddy Rose as well. 7/17, 1990, part of Wrestling Challenge 207, Ronnie Garvin and Troy Williams lose their WWF Tag Team Championship match to the champions, Demolition, Axe, and Smash Wrestling. Challenge 209, Honky and Greg the Hammer defeated Glenn Ruth, a.k.a. Thrasher, and Ron Garvin, 3 minutes and 30 seconds. He takes a couple house show losses to the Mighty Hercules. He loses to, well, a six-man tag, if you will. Jim McPherson, Jose Luis Vera, and Ron Garvin lose to Axe, Smash, and Crush of Demolition Primetime Wrestling from Utica, New York. Then there's a Primetime Wrestling SummerSlam Fever. 8/15, 1990, Mr. Perfect defeated Ronnie Garvin in 6 minutes as well. He takes a bunch of house show losses to the Barbarian. He actually loses to Sergeant Slaughter as well before taking a bunch of wins over Mark Young, Bob Bradley, and Pistol Pez Whatley. As we enter into September, he gets the wins over Bob Bradley and Black Bart on Primetime Wrestling and on the MSG Network. Orient Express Superstars taping 211 would defeat Major Yates and Ronnie Garvin from Toledo, Ohio. Loses a bunch of house show matches to the Warlord as well in the month of October of 1990 before getting a bunch of victories in a row over the Brooklyn Brawler, Jerry Rice, Iron Mike Sharp, and finally Buddy Rose to end his WWE run. 2 years in the making. So he debuted November 1988. He leaves November of 1990, 11/4, 1990. From the Ocean Center in Daytona Beach, Florida, Ronnie Garvin defeated Buddy Rose. And then he was gone soon thereafter, leaving back to Puerto Rico and Smoky Mountain and some independence. And the rest is history as far as rugged Ronnie Garvin is concerned. But great run to me. Kind of an under-the-radar run for sure, but I absolutely love his feud with Greg the Hammer Valentine. Well, let's hit the plugs. You follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Two Man Power Trip. Check out the website, tmptempire.com. Check out TeePublic, tpublic.com/store/TMPT for more. Thank you, everybody, for listening. See you right back here next time for Little Hogan Era Podcast. See you next week, folks. This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You could follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You could check us out on Facebook. You could subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPTEmpire to become a patron. And also check out the website, TMPTEmpire.com. And buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies. Brother.
Well, folks, for the last couple of weeks, a very interesting confrontation has been going on in the Superstars. We don't want to let you out on any part of it. We want you to know exactly what's going on between Rugged Ronnie Garvin and the Hammer. So here it is.
Ooh, what a chop by Bob. And another one.
Now, those are legal. That is an open hand, much different than what Garvin was doing
earlier.
That's
legal as well. These two are hammering each other. Oh, my goodness.
You know, McMahon, I just wish once in your life you could have taken a blow like that so you'd have some reason to talk about it.
Oh, really?
Just once.
Look at the headbutt by Rugged Ronnie Garvin. Valentine down again.
And the Hammer Jr.'s in trouble. Ronnie Garvin getting the better of the exchange right now. These two are just chopping each other to pieces. Valentine, I don't think it's stolen the knee of Garvin. Definitely, you know what the hammer sets up for on that? His famous figure four. If he hooks that, even Garvin will give up. Jimmy Hart, yes, here it comes down. Maneuvering that leg piece into position. He's wasting a lot of time. Even either Garvin is hurt or Valentine's wasting too much time. Small package. Oh, he got him. Rugged Ronnie Garvin was playing possum, waiting for Greg Valentine to appeal the home. And this place is going bananas. Valentine is shocked. Classify this somewhat of an upset, McMahon. Here you see the hammer spinning around to go for the figure four. Garvin grabbing the hair, going into the small package and gets the pin. Let's go to Tony Schiavone.
Certainly, and you can hear right now the mouth of the South saying no.
I've never turned down a challenge. I accept.
He's accepted the challenge, Greg.
If you're so sure of yourself, Rugged Ronnie Garvin, then you put your career on the line also.
Ronnie, what about that?
Well, Valentine, you're a bigger fool than I thought. I accept.
So there it is. It is Rugged Ronnie Garvin against Greg the Hammer Valentine. Both careers are on the line, and you'll see that rematch right here next week.
Garvin has Valentine right where he wants him. If he gets him up for... No. Nice maneuver, but no. Wait a minute. Valentine goes down. One, two, and...
Whoa.
Valentine within a half a second of retirement.
And Garvin coming on strong here. Jimmy Hart having more than just a few anxious moments out about the ringside area.
Well, you know, there's no advantage either the length that this match goes, because both of these guys love it to be a long match.
Indeed, both in tremendous condition, too. Can't quite get the three count, but nonetheless, that has to start taking its toll on Valentine. He should be losing some confidence now. He is. He's backing off a bit from Garvin.
Yeah, but don't forget, he's got Jimmy Hart there. He's got the brains with him.
Yeah. Which means what?
Jimmy Hart. If he gets in too much trouble, he can bail out. I'm sure they got a plan B and a plan C.
I would doubt it very seriously. Because if Jimmy Hart gets involved in this matchup at all, it will cause Valentine a disqualification. His career's over just like that.
You mean he has to retire if he gets disqualified?
And the loser will be gone. That's all there is to it.
I just can't believe somebody, both of these men, would put their careers on the line.
Valentine. Down to the canvas. Come on, Garvin, get down on him. Setting him up now for the big elbow. Yes.
Quit cheering and try being
the cover. Two hooks to leg.
Kick out by Valentine.
And Jimmy Hart really being upset now. Look at that. Garvin with those right hands to the forehead.
And Joey Morella, and the referee, not even reprimanding him for it.
That's true, he's not.
Whoa, did Valentine catch Rugged Ronnie Garvin there with a chop?
What resiliency on the part of the hammer.
Ooh, my. Now we'll see what Garvin can take.
Valentine to the apron. He's wasting time, though. He's wasting too much time. Garvin played possum on him last week, and Garvin's going to beat him to the punch. And that's a tough position to be put in right there. Slammed off the top rope. Oh, there's the Garvin stomp. Valentine just being stomped into oblivion. His career's going to be over one way or the other. Small package. I can't believe it. He has his tights.
He got him.
He got him. Valentine with the same moves Garvin used last week. I can't believe that.
Jimmy will never have to wrestle Rugged Ronnie Garvin again because I embarrassed him. I humiliated him. I out-wrestled him. I out-fought him. Just think, Rugged Ronnie Garvin is gone. He'll never wrestle in a again.
Please welcome in our new sponsor, Underdog Fantasy. Go to underdogfantasy.com and you'll discover that Underdog Fantasy is the best and easiest place to play fantasy sports. Underdog Fantasy lets you draft a fantasy dream team in minutes. Sign up now with the code POWERTRIP and you'll double your first deposit up to $100 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit of $10 or more. That's right, deposit $100 and get $100 for free. Underdog keeps it simple with their easy-to-use website and mobile apps. Pick between 2 and 5 players to fill out your pick'em slip. Get every pick right and take home some cold, hard cash. Use that promo code POWERTRIP and get your first deposit doubled up by $100 by Underdog. That's underdogfantasy.com. Use the promo code POWERTRIP today.
We love the 1980s wrestling era when kayfabe was king and wrestling did whatever it took to protect the business. When all the territories dealt with the rise of the WWF and the NWA emerged as its greatest challenger. Imagine if there were an epic drama series based on that era, combining the corporate warfare and family drama of Succession with the giant cast and epic storytelling of Game of Thrones. That day has come. Kings of the Ring is the first audio drama podcast based on wrestling.
Go back to your trailer, you hillbilly.
It's a fiction series about the 1980s wrestling wars and the sex, drugs, and muscles lifestyle of the 80s wrestler and the sacrifices they make for success. With guest voice acting appearances by Lanny Poffo.
I even have a good dropkick.
And AEW's RJ City.
I didn't really have that much to do.
Search Kings of the Ring from any podcast app or kingsotr.com and binge away.
Since the announcement of WrestleMania 6, as far as the main event is concerned, yeah. The Ultimate Warrior against the Hulkster. And I can't believe that you have not offered an opinion as of yet as to who will win the matchup.
McMahon, I don't make spur-of-the-moment judgments. I will go home. I will study film. I will watch both of these men in various matches, and I will make an educated, well-rounded, expert opinion when I make that opinion.
I see. So you don't have an inclination at this moment, then?
Not right now.
Uh-huh.
Not right now. Maybe next week, maybe the week after.
Rugged Ronnie Garvin shot to the corner. Pete Sanchez with a wild right hand, missed by a mile, and Garvin is right on target.
Well,
oh, my!
Garvin certainly didn't miss with his right hand.
No. And the official allowing a little bending of the rules there a moment ago. Garvin is just chopping away.
There's a little turnbuckle introduction right there.
Yeah.
Tell me something, McMahon. You ever felt a turnbuckle to your head?
Well, not exactly to my head, but I was close to the ring once, and I had my hand on the turnbuckle as I was getting up in the ring to accept an award, as I recall. And it's sort of rugged, Jesse, the canvas cover over it, that is.
Don't you dare lie to me.
I beg your
national
pardon?
TV. What award would ever be given to you?
Well, I can't recall at the moment.
Yeah.
Maybe it wasn't an award. Maybe it was just a ring announce. It was some time ago. Headbutt by Rugged Ronnie Garvin, and Sanchez feeling the effect of that. Ooh, look at that.
Well, that'll stop anybody. You go to the face like that. And Garvin puts the brakes on. He's not going to. The buckle elbow. Headbutt by Garvin and Sanchez to the canvas. You know, rugged Ronnie Garvin, he's got one of them throwback haircuts.
A throwback haircut?
Yeah, I mean, who in their right mind in this day and age runs around with a crew cut like that?
Rugged Ronnie Garvin.
Yeah.
Suplex nicely executed.
It's a throwback haircut.
Some would say yours is sort of grew up, if I would use the expression, as opposed to. And here is the rugged Ronnie Garvin stop.
Literally leaving no part of Sanchez's body untouched here. Look at that, right in the face, the last one. I mean, this guy shows no mercy.
Indeed not. Garvin now with Sanchez right where he wants him and goes for his pounded leg lock. And it's all over. And you haven't once noted that Garvin is not wearing the hammer jammer.
He's very observant this week, too. Oh, man, I'm still stunned over the announcement of that main event at WrestleMania.
All right, here we go.
There you go. You see, shut up, McMahon. You see Garvin with a beautiful suplex right there into the Garvin leg lock. Turning Sanchez over, cinching it down. And-